Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Daniel chapter 12, we were talking about the tribulation saints that go through all of their trials and troubles and persecutions and stay pure through their faith in God. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
So when he seals up and closes up the words, we see that these words are preserved. Again, the doctrine of preservation is showing itself again. You can depend upon the Word of God as it's given to us in the Masoretic text and the Textus Receptus, which if you're speaking English, the King James Bible was translated from that, so that's the one you would use. And I would say the old King James, not the new King James. Daniel does not have to worry that this vision and information will be lost. Aren't you glad, my friend, that not one jot or tittle of the Word of God has ever been lost? That it's all preserved, as Jesus told us in Matthew 5:18, and Jesus is never wrong. That takes us into verse 10 here of Daniel chapter 12. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, many shall be purified, made white, and tried. This reference is to the tribulation period. I believe Peter reminds them of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, and then also verse 19. He says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed," that's eternity, "you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he's evil spoken of, but on your part, he's glorified." Then verse 19 of 1 Peter 4, "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." Oh, we so often look for a way out when the blessings may come by staying in. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You see, my friend, we see these things that we've just read about the trials, and the wicked don't understand Christian suffering and persecution as victory. Notice what it said for the saint of God, that he's purified. This defined as to single out, chosen, and purified. The idea here is that in the midst of all the wickedness of the tribulation, this one will show himself pure and made white. Well, Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Isn't that great? This is one that their commitment to Christ is proven. And then they're tried. It's defined as to melt metal, refine, to purge by fire. Well, going through the fires, that kind of refining every Christian needs. And that is what is being described here. When God chastens his children in any dispensation, the principle is always the same. As our text says, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12:10. Old or New Testament trials of fire prepare us to be holy and prepare us for eternity. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand, he says again here in verse 10. When men live in the flesh, they simply don't understand spiritual things. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the following. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so, the wicked don't understand spiritual things. They don't understand suffering of Christians, because they cannot see beyond this present life, so they don't see how that is glory. I was listening to a preacher one day several years ago speak in favor of contemporary music, of religious rock and roll, if you will. I think they call it CCM. And he said in these words, I would like to counsel you pinheads with your insanity. Well, if you hold to the old hymns, you hold to good godly music, you're a pinhead and you're insane. Well, we seem that way to the world. Paul was told by a ruler, you're beside yourself, much learning doth make thee mad. One preacher referred to the modern music as 7-11 music, seven words sung 11 times. Now, should we be angry because this man called us pinheads and insane? Not really. You see, what the Bible is teaching us is that he lacks the capacity to understand as much as an imbecile would be incapable of doing mathematical equations. Now, I'm not calling the man an imbecile. I'm saying he lacks the capacity in his present carnal state to understand holiness, righteousness, and separation from the world. Until Christians are submitted to God, obedient to the Word, and separate from the world, they simply will not understand spiritual things, nor why sin is sin. We need revival in our churches. But the kind of revival we need is revival among God's people of discernment between the holy and the carnal. Because too often today, it's not there. It's not in the pulpit. It's not in the Sunday school classroom. It's not in the music. We've lost our discernment in so much of the church today. In Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, we read this, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. He'd already decided in his heart. He made it a commitment. And that's what it has to take, is a commitment to seek, to try to understand it. Here again is a prophet of God. He came through a priestly line. He's seeking to understand it and to do it. Seek God's word, and then when you see what it tells you to do, do it. do what the Word instructs. And as you see it and you do it, teach it. Proclaim to others the warnings in God's Word against sin, and telling them what is the ray of righteousness. You see, my friend, the wicked do not understand why you don't compromise worship, whether it's in music or in preaching. They often wonder why you won't join their area-wide emphasis with other denominations and religions. You've perhaps tried to explain it, but no, you really can't, because they simply lack the capacity to understand. At least, that's what Daniel's being told here, and I guess God is always right, is he not? None of the wicked shall understand. Isn't it interesting the same counsel is seen in Revelation chapter 22, verses 10 through 12? And there we read, "And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." He says, let the wicked go on. The reward's coming. You've warned them. You've told them. Now you just let them go on. But let the righteous go on in their righteousness, because their reward, which is a good reward, is also coming. The wise understand that. Therefore, they hate evil and they love righteousness. That's why we read in John 16:13, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." You see, we are to walk in the Spirit, not according to our feelings. When you walk in the Spirit, you're walking according to truth. You seek the Word to understand it, to have His Spirit teach it to you, and His Spirit will bring all things to your remembrance from His Word, and you seek to live by it. And that takes us into 11 and 12 here of Daniel chapter 12. These two verses where we see some extra days. "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that cometh to the 1,305 days. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.